Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. If you commute to work in Miami, you know how bad traffic can be. But beyond the hours we spend in traffic each day, one study estimates that we'll take 3 days out of the year in bumper to bumper. There's also a real concern about safety. The Florida Department of Safety and Motor Vehicles found in 2017 there were 66,000 crashes in Miami-Dade County that led to more than 32,000 injuries and 285 fatalities. There were more than 1,300 pedestrian injuries and 733 cyclists were hurt. Now, county leaders are taking major steps to reduce these numbers, and those solutions are part of the focus of the Safer Streets Summit happening at the Intercontinental Hotel as we speak. And Alice Bravo was in attendance at the conference and one of the key speakers. She's the director of Miami-Dade County's Transportation and Public Works Department. She joins us now in studio. Mrs. Bravo, great to have you back.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And just to mention, if you have a question, how can we make our streets safer? What can we do? We got to live with drivers, cyclists, pedestrians. What can we do to make it safer for everybody? We'd love to hear from you. 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. And by the way, there's a particular neighborhood or area where you feel like there's a lot of risk and danger. What can we do? We'd love to hear from you. You can also post a question or comment on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. All right, Mrs. Bravo, when you hear those statistics, you know them. I'm just repeating what you already know. I mean, how do you respond to that?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that go into the situation we have on roadways. And obviously, in our county role, in terms of implementing projects and reviewing projects that are implemented by others, there's a lot we look for in terms of design. And things we'd like to do in design projects. But we also have to talk about the great majority of crashes are often caused by driver behavior and things that drivers themselves right. can control. So I think it's important that we talk about both sides of this coin.
When you look at Miami and how it ranks compared to other cities, major cities in the U.S. on this issue, we're not very good, not very high.
Neither Florida as a whole is not.
Right. Why? I mean, is it the driving culture or is it something else?
So I think a lot that goes into traffic engineering and analysis of situations has to do with driver awareness. And so if you're in an area like downtown where there's a lot of pedestrians or bicyclists, et cetera, the driver is aware of what that landscape is and is going to drive differently. But we have very suburban areas where the characteristic of the road is such that everything's wider and you see pedestrians and bicyclists less frequently. And therefore, the driver awareness goes down in those situations. And when there is an encounter with a pedestrian or bicyclist, that's where the reaction time is different. Then, of course, we have the issues that everybody's grappling with, the distracted driver, whether it's texting or other things that are going on in the car.
So a lot of what I'm hearing from you is it's a lot of it's on the driver. But how about this? Let me ask you your take. When you look at the streets and the way we've laid out all of our streets in the city, in the downtown area, in the in the communities, are the streets designed so that you could have safe drivers? You can have the drivers, but you can also have there's room for pedestrians and cyclists.
Well, I think every day we do more towards that end. So if you look over the last few decades, we've introduced painted bicycle lanes. Obviously, if the bicyclist was completely removed from the roadway and there was a buffer or separation and then the bicyclist was in its own space, then that physical separation would obviously improve the situation. If you did have a distracted driver, whatever, then now you physically separated the two and avoid that conflict. But these features didn't exist when a lot of our roadway system was planned and we have a limited amount of right-of-way that we work with. In many situations, it's just not feasible to widen that right of way.
I mean, look, there are laws, obviously, for distracted driving, but at the same time, and there are laws that are supposed to protect pedestrians and right of way. But do you think that they are effective? I mean, because I'm trying to think of like, well, how do you get people to pay more attention so that you reduce those injuries, accidents, and fatalities?
You know, it it's different from city to city, and it differs in different countries across the world. There are countries where if a pedestrian starts to walk into the street, all traffic will come to a stop, you know, like in the Netherlands. And a lot of that training or education begins at a very early age, almost in the school system. It's a requirement. So I think we have a combination of factors. We also have a lot of people that learn how to drive in different cultures and maybe places that are less sensitive to pedestrians and bicyclists than we are here. So what things that we've doing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this goes to the SMART plan, right? I mean, what is that, or are there any solutions there into how to try to, it's not going to get rid of it altogether, but to try to make things better for everybody.
Right. Well, let me go back a little bit. And back in February of 2015, the U.S. Secretary of Transportation, Anthony Fox, announced a nationwide initiative to help reduce pedestrian bicycle facilities. Our Mayor Carlos Jimenez, he announced a Safer People, Safer Streets plan.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
So there are items that have come out of that effort, and we adopted a Vision Zero policy, which is our goal is that by 2030, we've eliminated totally all traffic-related deaths and serious injuries by that time frame.
And how?
That is the proposal.
Okay.
And so the next step of that plan was we created a complete street guideline. And so this is above and beyond existing guidelines for streets, amenities and features and considerations that are taken into account when we're designing intersections. Obviously, the intersections is where you have the greatest level of conflict.
Okay.
So, you know, we talked about pedestrian facilities, and obviously there's different levels of pedestrian facilities that you can provide, and as well as bicycles.
Wait, when you say facilities, what are you talking about?
Well, facilities have to do with the sidewalks,
okay,
whether it's a path that's removed from the roadway. And then there's the features or the elements of it, how you treat the crosswalks, whether you're permitting right turn on reds or if there's a safe pedestrian phase on all legs.
What I'm hearing then is that, okay, so there are structural issues that have to be done, you know, again, to the roads, to the pathways, make sure there are spaces for pedestrians and cyclists. But it goes back to what you said a little while ago. It's still also about educating drivers. That's what I'm hearing from you, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Again, talking with Alice Bravo, director of Miami-Dade County's Transportation and Public Works Department, talking about making our streets safer. What is it going to take to make those streets safer for all pedestrians, cyclists, and drivers? The number again is 800-743-9576. Let me go to Omar in Miami. Omar, thank you so much for waiting.
I just wanted to go talk about bustle lane lanes because I frequently ride down 27th Avenue. And a lot of times, you know, I've seen that the traffic there is just horrible. And I don't see what's preventing officials from creating bustle lane lanes that can run down there. I've heard about the recent proposal for a new line of the Miami Metro Rail to go up 27th Avenue. But to be honest, I don't think we have the density in order to support that, which is why I think that I think maybe we could just implement bus-only lanes in order to maybe achieve something in regards to that.
So he's talking about these bus-specific lanes. I mean, we've talked to the mayor about this. We've talked about adding, you know, because there was the whole debate about expanding Metro Rail, but instead we're now looking at, you know, bus rapid transit. So, but I mean, so you hear what Omar has to say. You've heard this before.
Yes, and I think if you look at the SMART plan, we're talking about different layers of infrastructure. So there are the six rapid transit corridors of the Strategic Miami Area Rapid Transit Plan. One of those corridors is the South Corridor. The alternative that was selected for the South Corridor is creating a full bus rapid transit system on what are the existing bus lanes today that parallel US-1. And that project's moving forward with iconic stations that have all the features and elements that you would have on
a train.
And the same time savings, except that it's at a fraction of the cost, which means it can actually be implemented near term rather than going through a long elaborate federal funding process and not knowing if and when the project ever does get implemented.
All right.
Now, on the North Corridor, recently there was a decision made on that, that given the traffic conditions on 27th Avenue, the best alternative would be to have some type of elevated system. And they
elevated walkway, elevated rail,
elevated rapid transit system.
Okay.
And what we were directed to do was to go evaluate other modes, not just Metrorail. That the cost estimate for Metrorail is pretty high, hovering near $2 billion for that corridor to run from where the system curves off of 27th Avenue today, roughly Martin Luther King,
right,
up to the county line.
Okay.
So we're evaluating different modes that are available worldwide. That includes monorail. There are new advanced versions of the people mover that are higher speed, higher capacity, in hopes of still providing an elevated alternative, but at a reduced cost.
I want to go to, we did get a comment on Twitter. This from Bike Safe Miami tweeted to us, "It takes political will to back slower speed limits, safer street design, and barrier-protected bike lanes. As such, this will also require a shift in funding towards micro-mobility and away from auto-centric design." It's almost like we have to rethink our city as it continues to grow. I mean, people know that, you know, the city grew very fast, and it seemed like it. I'm not making this, I don't know, I'm just saying, but people have said, you know, you've heard the argument, there was no planning, that it was just, let's just build, and we built, but there was no planning. But do you agree with that argument? Did we plan this out right?
Well, I think...
And that's with traffic growing, traffic, pedestrian, cyclists, everybody.
Right. I think if you look at our Metrorail system as it is today, we were very fortunate. This was a 25-mile system of which the federal government paid 80%, the state paid 10%, and we, the locals, paid 10%. This is equivalent to a subway, but elevated. What you want around that system is a lot of density. The closer that people live and work to these stations, the more convenient it is to use it. And that's how you get your higher ridership. So I think when the system was built, unfortunately, the areas, whether they were municipalities or not, around the system did not want to increase densities. I don't know if they didn't want or there was just not interest from the development community. And for whatever reason, you didn't build that density around that system. Then development occurred in other parts of the county. Obviously, it's easier to build density around the system you have than extend a new system out to where you have density. So, you know, like everything, pendulums tend to swing. And I think developers are seeing a lot of interest from the public to live near that infrastructure system. And now is when you see that density going in, and I have high hopes we're going to have increased ridership in the future on our system.
Again, talking with Alice Bravo, director of Miami-Dade County's Transportation and Public Works Department, talking about the steps the county's got to take to improve safety of county streets for everybody, not just drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians. We are not very high up on the list, actually very low on the list when it comes to safety for pedestrians and cyclists. The number again, 800-743-9576. Tell us real quickly, Ms. Bravo, the Safer Streets Summit, what is it? Who's there? What's being discussed?
This is a collaboration between Miami-Dade County, Broward County, and Palm Beach County. And it's basically to bring different people in that deal with transportation, both private sector, public sector, together and discuss ideas, concept, increase awareness. If you think about the planning of roadways, there's a planning stage, there's a design engineering phase, and then the construction phase. And then we, as a regulatory agency, review designs. We also implement our own designs. So there's a lot of people that need to be aware, for example, of our complete street guidelines, of practices that...
Is there one big theme for this one?
Absolutely, it's pedestrian safety.
Okay. And I mean, what have you heard so far? A bit, you know, I mean, have you heard anything that's earth-shattering, groundbreaking, like this could be a solution?
You know, every roadway, every project is unique. There's no silver bullet, but it's about establishing best practices and sound philosophies that people use all the time. If you think about all the roadway projects we review, you know, every single reviewer has to be applying this philosophy in terms of the comments that they make so that the final design can address as many of these features as possible, given whatever constraints exist at that location.
One of the things I wanted to jump over, and by the way, I just want to mention again, we do have a lot of folks on the line, but we're having issues with the phone. My apologies for that. If you can, just jump on Facebook or Twitter. You can also post your comment or question there. We might be able to get a couple of calls in here before we finish up. I wanted to come back to this real quickly with you, though, Ms. Bravo, is that you had conducted for many years now extensive research for the Smart Plan. And, I mean, it's estimated that $80 million were spent on the six smart corridors since 2011. But again, I
want to correct headline.
Okay, go ahead.
If you look at back in the years of, say, 2000 to 2010, the county was moving forward with pursuing federal funds for the North Corridor and actually initiated design, actually acquired some properties. So that $80 million figure includes a lot of different elements that
it wasn't just on the a smart study?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It was on actual the plans. The design plans to go to construction actually reached a phase of about 60% completeness.
Okay.
Right away was acquired, and just the whole federal process and all the different information you have to provide.
All right. Okay. Well, no, the opportunity to clarify that again, a story posted up by the Miami Herald. I mean, just wondering though, going back before I go back to the phones, the research that's been done over the years, what did you gather from it? Is it still usable considering how much the city has grown?
Well, certain information is usable. Whenever you start the studies, you start with data collection. Where are the utilities? What types of different land uses do you have? You know, in the case of the East-West corridor, when that study was originally done, out west, the city of Doral didn't exist yet. And so obviously, what we do in our new study efforts is we take all that data we have already and we build upon that or update it as necessary. But it's certainly not lost.
Do you have to, do you have to consider, as you're doing the research, almost predict that, well, the city's going to grow. And so, yeah, there's nothing there now. Maybe there's an area right now underdeveloped. Let's go ahead and count on in 10 years, there will be a lot.
We actually look at a 20-year planning horizon. So if we're doing a study today and we're assuming the project's going to be implemented, say, in 8 years, then it's a 20-year forecast beyond that.
Ms. Bravo, as we move forward on this issue, again, Miami's always ranked low when it comes to that safety for pedestrians and cyclists and just motorists in general. I'm not going to leave everybody out, but I mean, what can you say to folks about where the Smart Plan is going, but where the county is going in trying to get us off the bottom of that list? Not because it's about being on a list. It's about having a safer place for people to be able to get to and from work. And if you want to get more people off the roads and into bikes, on bikes or walking or public transit, you got to convince them it's safe.
And definitely this, our Vision Zero initiatives is a top priority. Like I said, in everything that we're doing, whether we're designing or we're reviewing other people's designs that we have to approve, we want to do everything possible to prioritize pedestrian bicycle safety. We work with a county bicycle advisory group, and we meet with them on a regular basis to review the design of projects, to get feedback from the bicycling community as to what we can do better. We've developed a collaborative, a local action team that's going to help us raise awareness of these complete street guidelines and work with municipalities. And we actually received a grant from the Health Foundation of South Florida that's helping us promote this. So we're talking about, there are different cultures that have to be changed. We have to change the driving culture and raise awareness there. And also designers and all the different people that work on projects.
And
we have to change those philosophies as well.
Just real quickly, too. By the way, I mean, how often do you take public transit or walk, just walk the streets? Or ride the street, ride a bike around the streets.
Well, I walk all over downtown, and I use the Metrorail and the Mover to get around. And living in Kendall, I try to take the Metrorail as often as I can to come into work.
Do you find it reliable getting to work?
Oh, yes. And I have to say that we as a community have to be proud. Our mayor and the county commission have really made huge investments in our transit system. Everybody likes to talk about the expansions, but it's just as important to maintain the system you have. We've invested $350 million in replacing all the Metrorail trains. We're investing about, I'd say about $500 million on new buses. And we're receiving right now 300 new compressed natural gas CNG buses. We've ordered 120 more in December, and we're about to order 130 more.
Real quickly, only because of time. So we did get Sue's question online, and she asked this question. Are you planning to implement education classes on driver safety? Basically, what will be done from an educational standpoint? You talk about changing the culture. So how do you do that?
Yes. And that's something that we're working with different groups to influence that discussion and get that educational change.
What do you think it's going to take? What do you think it's going to take to you know what? Listen, no, look, and I'm stuck in a car a big part of the day since I come from Kendall. You know, I have to drive to the train station and then from there. But, you know, it amazes me as I'm driving, you know, how I see people obviously cutting each other off. One person followed me for about a couple of miles and they were on their phone. And I was freaked out that they were going to hit me from behind because they were not watching. How do you change that culture?
Well, I obviously we have regulatory schemes that address some of these issues. And raising awareness that's a very dangerous activity, and you have to have 100% attention dedicated to driving.
I almost think, honestly, that you have to have a social media campaign, because if people are going to be on their phones while they're driving, might as well stick it in their face while they're driving. Alice Bravo, again, joining us, is director of Miami-Dade County's Transportation and Public Works Department. And by the way, just to mention, too, real quickly, this conference is going on for how long, or is it already over?
I think today there are different workshops that are going on.
Okay. And so, again, that looking at this idea of how to bringing leaders from all over the area for the Safer Streets Summit and talking about how to make our streets safer. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Find us online, Facebook or Twitter, WLRN Sundown. Tell us about your daily commute, whether you drive, ride your bike, take public transit. What's it like? Is it safe? And what do you want to see change? Ms. Bravo, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much
for
the time.
Thank you for having me.
All right, still to come, Delrish Moss took one of the most scrutinized police jobs in the country, and he's back in South Florida now. We'll talk to him coming up next.
No one showed you how, but you will find your ground deep inside. You got it down.